Could you build a business that's better for our planet? That's what I have set out to answer. Hi, I'm Marco Pimentel, marketing expert and entrepreneur and host of the podcast, Someone Like You. I become fascinated in finding creative climate solutions in business. And on the podcast, I break down how founders and CEOs are building climate-friendly business solutions that are opportunities for growth while being better for the planet. I wanted to take a second to tell you about our season two sponsor, Springwise. Springwise is the global ESG innovation platform that offers its readers early access to the ideas transforming our world. I actually started using Springwise probably 10 years ago to review innovative startup ideas, and I've been a fan ever since. There are three new stories on the site every weekday featuring solutions to some of the biggest challenges we face as a global community. You'll find innovations in climate tech, renewable energy, plastic alternatives, the circular economy, and how we can live a more sustainable life. The stories are sourced and written by the Springwise team of journalists and will give you an inspiring take on what's right around the corner, whether you read it to inform your work or simply for a regular dose of optimism. Springwise sets the innovation agenda. The newsletter is free to access, and to sign up, visit springwise.com/newsletter signup.
They said, that sounds great. And then they get to go home and they get to tell their kids that they signed up for green energy today. It makes them feel good about their mom or their dad. And life goes on as usual, except now they're part of the renewable revolution and helping climate change, which feels really good as an individual and is incredibly easy as a business owner.
Today, we are in for a treat as we dive into the realm of renewable energy with John Wichell, the CEO of King Energy. This is John's 10th startup. He's had a handful of exits and he has an incredibly strong background in software and finance. John's journey back to the renewable energy sector is driven by a profound desire to make a meaningful impact. We explore how King Energy is addressing a market issue of split incentive problem in solar energy for multi-tenant commercial properties into making it their kind of key product differentiator. Discover the intricacies of their business model, which involves renting roofs from landlords and providing discounted solar energy to tenants, creating a win-win scenario for all parties involved. How solar really is a finance problem and solution, how they're seeing really strong market demand for their solution, and most importantly, John's view on the massive business opportunities that exist within climate solutions. Discover how King Energy is reshaping the renewable energy landscape and empowering communities through innovative solar solutions in this enlightening conversation with John and embark on a journey towards a more sustainable tomorrow. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm very excited to talk to you. You have a lot of experience with startups from varied industries, a lot of technology startups. And I wanted to just ask, was there anything in your career that made you kind of think now is kind of the time to get into climate and into renewables? And is there any kind of correlation to King Energy in the past?
Sure. Happy to talk a little bit about that. I've been doing startups my whole life. I was the little kid who had the lemonade stand, and I did my first startup pretty much right out of college, and mostly in software, and then increasingly in fintech. And as I moved through my career, doing one startup after the other, increasingly, you know, the whole time in fintech, eventually I had a company that was acquired by SolarCity, which was one of the early leaders in renewables. And that's really where I fell in love with renewables. And my company was acquired to become the fintech platform of SolarCity. And our job was to build software that did all the loan, lease, and PPA servicing for that organization. And it was very successful, and I really cut my teeth on it. And then when I went to try to find another startup after that ended, I really wanted to be in renewables. I just loved it. I loved being on the right side of history. I loved being able to connect with young people and have the work that I do every day in my office have meaning to them. And fundamentally, renewables and solar is really a fintech problem. It's really a finance problem, and as much as it is an engineering problem. And it was an area that I thought I could help a lot with, given my experience in fintech software.
And SolarCity, that is kind of the solar arm of Tesla?
Yes. So SolarCity was acquired by Tesla and is still going today. And now it's called Tesla Energy. And so if you buy a Powerwall or solar panels from Tesla, your system will show up in my software, and that software will run for another 20 years.
Yeah. And we've been seeing numbers, and we've been seeing the technology on the engineering side of solar drastically improve from efficiencies. And then obviously a result of costs has dramatically gone down. down. And so you hear a lot of that, but you do need to get a lot of panels placed to get energy. And so I'd love to get your side of just the business nuances of just solar. Maybe break down a bit of the business issues or the business overview of solar.
Sure. All renewables, whether it's a dam, wind, solar with batteries, they all have the same basic problem and the same basic advantages. You can really think of them as a little printing press for money. They're this little black box that generates value over a very long period of time. In solar, the typical lifespan of a solar system is at least 25 years, and the latest systems can go out to 35 years. A wind turbine will last 20 plus years. A well-built dam will last 100 years. And every single day, all of them will generate energy, and that will create some value, and you can sell that energy for some profit. But when you're building it or you're installing it, whether you're a consumer or you're a government who's building a large-scale dam, you have to pay for all the equipment and all of the workers and all of the labor and all of the permitting today. And so they all have the same basic problem, which is how do I pay for something today that will generate the same amount of value or significantly more over a very long period of time? And the answer to all of those questions is financing. And really, the solar industry took off when two things happened. Number one, when the cost to generate a kilowatt hour of electricity started to approach parity with coal and natural gas, whether that was initially wind or solar, when those two economics crossed, that became very interesting. And then the second thing that came about was something called the PPA, which was a power purchase agreement. And when a power purchase agreement allowed a consumer to install solar on their roof without having to take a loan. And the company, whether it was SolarCity or Sunrun or some of the first gen solar companies, said, hey, we'll take that risk on, we'll finance it. You, consumer, you don't have to worry about where that capital comes from. We'll take care of that. And then they paid for all of that. And then you just got some reduced cost of energy that was also green. When those two things happened, price parity plus power purchase agreements, you got an explosion in solar.
And that makes a lot of sense too, because like you said, governments, they're going to be funding a lot of the big dams. So they're taking that funding and financing risk, and then they sell that to consumers. And so companies were able to do that, to provide that on the consumer side. You had a bit of a different thought, and you thought of going after a little bit of a chicken and egg problem. And that's kind of what's led to King Energy. Can you explain a bit about what you kind of saw as a gap in the financing model and where you kind of attacked?
Sure. So in residential solar, the person who lives in the house and is the same person that consumes the energy. So that's pretty straightforward, right? A person installs solar on the roof of their house. They expect to live in the house for a very long period of time. Kind of the whole thing just sort of holds together. King Energy focuses on multi-tenant commercial properties, shopping malls, medical plazas, office parks, where people or tenants rent their space. They may rent their space for a very long time, but they don't own the building. And so that creates what's called the split incentive problem, where the tenants who work every single day in an office park or a shopping plaza, they don't want to invest in a building that they don't own. And in most cases, those tenants are on triple net leases, meaning they pay for the energy. The landlord doesn't pay the energy. And so because the landlord doesn't pay for the energy, they have no incentive to lower the cost of energy for their tenants. So neither party has any incentive to install solar. So nobody does. King Energy was created to solve that problem. And that problem gets solved with software.
Yeah. So I see this example here. I'm in our office building. Luckily for us, it's a newer building and it doesn't have solar, but it is quite energy efficient. But let's just say our previous building as a tenant on a 3-year lease, we never know if we're going to be in here for 5 or 10 or 15. Definitely not. You know, we would never think we'd be here for 20 years. And so for us, like you said, we have to pay for our energy costs. But for us, we would never be able to really kind of either afford or make that idea to put solar on the roof to reduce our costs, because you need time to do that. And then I guess because our landlord, they don't have to pay for that energy cost, is not as much of an incentive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You are the use case that King Energy is attempting to solve. So if I can come to you as a business owner and say, hey, I'll save you 10% off your energy bill for all the energy that we produce each month. You don't have to put any capital costs up front. You're going to get one and only one bill. Nothing changes in your life, except it's going to be a lower cost of energy. By the way, it's also going to be green if that's important to you and your business. And you can get started tomorrow. That sounds like a pretty good deal to you. And then we turn around and call the landlord and we say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Landlord, I have good news for you. I just want to rent your roof. I don't want a partnership. I don't want a revenue share. You don't get a revenue share for every cup of coffee that Starbucks sells. You just want your rent. So we'll pay you rent for your roof. And we're going to go on the roof and we're going to install all the solar. We're going to take care of everything and we'll make money. And that's between us and our customers. And every month you're going to get your rent and that's that. And then they say, okay, well, that sounds pretty interesting, but I've heard that story before. You know, what's the catch? Do you want me to buy the energy? What happens if the sun doesn't shine? And our response to all of those questions is, that's not your problem. The only thing you have to worry about is, are we paying the rent every month? And from the landlord's point of view, that's what he's been waiting to hear.
Yeah, you brought that solution to them to be able to say yes to that. But before, you said it was really solved through software. And so, you know, thinking about your experience, obviously in software, but also with finance, how does software solve that problem?
That's a great question. It's important to understand that in any building that has solar installed on it, there isn't actually some green electrons and brown electrons, where the green electrons are coming off of the solar panels and the brown electrons are coming off of the grid. That's not actually how electricity works. So you're not really routing electricity, where some people are buying the green electrons and some people are buying the brown electrons. What you're really doing is figuring out how to allocate the billing for each customer. And that's all about the software. And to be able to do that, you have to understand the tariffs of the utility. You have to understand who's paying what each month. Are they consuming a little bit of energy? Are they consuming a lot of energy? Are they consuming energy during the day, consuming energy at night? Are they consuming energy over the weekends? Is it steady? Is it episodic? All of these questions come into play for you to be able to figure out how to allocate the energy and the value of that energy onto each person's bill. And that is fundamentally a software problem. And so our software does all of that math and keeps track of all of that, not just for the solar panels, but for the energy that they're consuming off of the grid. Puts it all together in one very simple, easy to understand bill, delivers it to the customer for payment. And that's what our software does.
Yeah. And I guess that's obviously a core problem because it's multi-tenant. And so with solar being on the roof, like, do you ever have a scenario where you rent a roof, you put solar on there, and there's, let's say, eight tenants? Do you ever have a scenario where seven tenants say yes, but one says no? Does that ever happen?
Yeah. And not only does sometimes a tenant say no, very rarely do they say no. It's kind of a no-brainer from their point of view. They just get a lower cost of energy. But what does happen is the coffee shop closes up and the unit is vacant for 6 months. During that time, our software takes the energy that we would have allocated to that unit and adds a little bit of extra energy to all the other units. And then when that space gets remodeled and the coffee shop becomes a bakery, we contact the new renters and then the new renters say, yeah, we'd love to save some energy costs. And then we reprovision everybody's allocations and the bakery starts getting a portion of the savings from the solar panels. And again, that's actually, you can sort of imagine doing that with a spreadsheet. Wouldn't be too hard if there were maybe 10 or 20 tenants, or maybe you had a dozen buildings. So maybe you had a couple of hundred tenants. But if you're trying to build a company at scale and you want to have tens of thousands of tenants, there's only one way to be able to do all of that onboarding and offboarding and allocation and optimization. And that's with enterprise-grade software.
Yeah. And you mentioned that they get one bill, which means that you're running solar on the roof, but there might still be another backup power that's coming into the building. And you mentioned that that also gets feed into your software for cost and allocation. Is that correct, or is that completely separate?
Exactly right. The solar systems that we build, even with batteries, aren't big enough to cover the energy needs of the entire building. There's just not enough roof space to do that. So the tenants will always draw some of their energy from the utility, from the grid. But here's the problem. Nobody wants two bills. So, you know, if you're running a coffee shop and you're a small business, the last thing you want to do is all of a sudden go from having one bill from the local utility to having a bill from the local utility and from King Energy. So we put both bills onto one bill so that nothing changes. The only thing that changes is that you're paying less for your total energy costs. And because of the way we built the invoice, you can basically compare this month's bill to last year's bill at this time, hold the two up side by side, you'll see the savings very clearly, and you'll know that you're being treated fairly, which is frankly all anybody really wants. And the utilities are always changing their rates and they're always moving stuff around. And so when all of a sudden you go from this very, very complicated bill to this very simple bill that's objectively lower, it's a win, and you'll take that all day long.
Every week on Someone Like You, we dive into stimulating conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and the likes who are consciously and successfully creating sustainable business solutions for the long haul. Tune in every week for a new inspiring conversation on leading climate solutions. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please share it. And also, don't forget, subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and a review. Yeah, so you have this idea, you have opportunity with the tenants, opportunity with the lanyard, you want to rent the roof, but to build all this integrated software, obviously that takes time, it takes money, it takes energy to do that. How did you start? Did you have a few roofs that you just said, you know what, I want to tackle this, let's do two things, you know, let's sign five leases on a roof, and then we'll start building the software after, and then we'll sell that to the tenants? Like, how did you get started?
Good question. For me, the way that me and my team got started is we understood the problem really well. And from our experience in prior companies, we understood the market, we understood the domain space, we understood the problem space, we understood the customers. We knew the problem that we wanted to solve. And we had decades of experience writing financial software. So not only did we know the problem space, we knew how to write this kind of software to begin with. So we went ahead and started writing the software long before we had our first customer. So by the time we approached our first customers and signed them up, the software was operational. We had it running in a simulator. We had all the unit tests written. We had everything that you would expect to see in enterprise-grade software. That was all completely tricked out by the time we had our first customer. We signed our first building, which was ironically named Acorn, and we kept signing building after building after building after that. And so when the first and second and third and fourth buildings went live and the tenants went live, everybody looked. It was a great experience from day one. It was very easy for them to refer their friends and colleagues, and we started getting more and more business, and that's just steamrolled since then.
And in terms of the market and your team and where you're kind of scaling, and going to guess that you work with external companies to do the actual solar install, correct me if I'm wrong, but how has the response been from the market, and maybe has it been different at all between tenant and kind of landlord?
Yeah, so you're correct. Because we're really focused on the finance and the software side of things, we outsource all of the construction to partners. That also allows us to expand nationally very quickly and over a large geographic area, because we're not having to roll trucks, you know, hundreds of miles down the freeway just to do a single install. We'll call the local installers and have them do the physical build. And then we take over from there. The reception has been terrific. And part of the reason that the reception has been so strong is because the first generation of solar developers in the 2005, 6, 7, 8 years really would approach the landlord and say, hey, I want to rent the roof. But when the rubber hit the road, they also required the landlord to guarantee the revenues. And because there was so much uncertainty, that first generation of developers was really trying to make multi-tenant commercial properties look like residential properties. And then they could take the contract to the bank and they would say, hey, the guy who's really buying this energy is the landlord. And that's what they wanted to do. And that's not what landlords want to do. What landlords want to do is sell space. They don't want to be in the energy business. And so when we finally came along and said, hey, no guarantees, you're not backstopping anything, there's no complexity to what we're doing, they said, that's the answer we've been waiting for. And it's been growing like gangbusters ever since. And on the tenant side of things, the response was exactly the same. In the early days of residential solar, you came in, you approached the homeowner, they had a 20-year power purchase agreement. They were committing to buy all of the power over 20 years. You pulled credit on the homeowner. You looked at the house. You say these are going to be able to make this payment. And that's how the entire residential industry was built, residential solar industry was built. When they tried to move that over to the commercial side of things, just like you were talking about earlier, the tenant said, hey, I may only be in this building for 5 years. I can't sign a 20-year lease. I can't, or PPA. I can't sign a 20-year PPA. I can sign a term of lease PPA. I'll agree to buy your energy until I vacate the building, but I don't want you to call me if I move to another building and say, I have to keep paying you energy. That's crazy. That makes no sense. And so we solved that problem too. And we said, hey, we understand that you may only be here for a few years. We'll figure that out. What we're focused on is whether or not you can pay the rent for 20 years. What we're focused on is the vacancy rate of the building, which says that, well, you may vacate, but this is a well-run building by competent, capable property owners, and they're going to fill this space within a couple of months of you vacating. Maybe they'll do some light remodeling, but this space is going to have a new tenant. And as long as we know that the new tenant's going to buy the energy, everything's going to be good. And that solves the problem from the tenant side. And then the tenant says, whether you're a coffee shop or you're a law firm or you're a dentist or a doctor's office, you don't really care about energy, right? You care about coffee or taking care of your patients. And so when you come to you and we say, hey, we'll give you everything you want. You don't have to sign a long-term lease. You're guaranteed to save money. There's no math here. There's nothing for you to think about. You don't even have to make two checks. You just have to mail the check to a different PO box. They said, that sounds great. And then they get to go home and they get to tell their kids that they signed up for green energy today. It makes them feel good about their mom or their dad. And life goes on as usual, except now they're part of the renewable revolution and helping climate change, which feels really good as an individual and is incredibly easy as a business owner.
Yeah, we had a founder that had a community solar business. And the idea being is that where you build kind of a bit of a community solar farm, and they had some technology to allocate the billing into one bill for, let's say it's 30 or 50 homes, they get access to solar because they want it. It's a better energy source, and they didn't have to deal with the cost outlay to do that. And so that kind of brings me to the other side. The financing side means you guys have to pay all of that solar to be put onto the roofs up front. Now, is that done through a strategic one, two, multiple different banking partners that, you know, understand your model? And like, how does that piece work from a business standpoint?
That's exactly right. So community solar is, I think, going to be very successful throughout the world. It's a good model. It is the only way that people who don't have roof rights can participate in renewables. So, you know, apartment dwellers really have no way to participate in renewables. And then community solar came along and said, yeah, we'll give you a way. You can buy a slice of this field over here. And so I think that's going to continue to work pretty well. One of the challenges with community solar that's very much still a work in progress and people are still trying to figure it out is that residential people, we go to work every day. When we turn all the lights off before we leave, and then we turn all our lights back on in the evening just as the sun is going down. So our energy consumption is very much out of sync with the sun. Commercial buildings is exactly the opposite. Basically, the energy ramps up with the sun and ramps down as the sun is setting. And so in that regard, while community solar is a terrific business and a terrific model that I think is going to thrive, our approach has some qualities that are more favorable for the financial return of the people who put up the money for the capital. And the core question is, if you're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to build all of this solar infrastructure and all of this battery infrastructure, who's paying for it today? And the answer is partners. We use a number of financial partners, and there's a pretty broad range of people who are willing to partner with us, private equity, family offices, and banks. And the banks tend to be specialty banks. They're people who really understand solar rather than corner bank in a small town. And then a big part of the solar economy is the government incentives, both in the United States and in Canada. And in the United States, the Biden administration has provided a tremendous amount of financial support for renewables, and we take advantage of all of those programs to the fullest extent possible.
We talked a little bit about the market demand, but if you think about kind of the next 3 to 5 years and what you have in front of you, what does that look like? And how do you kind of continue to scale and obviously drive tremendous amount of impact because you are able to put so much solar onto all these roofs? So what do you think about the next kind of 3 to 5 years?
120 years ago, if you wanted to stay up late and read a book, you basically lit a candle. It took 100 years to transform the globe so that if you want to stay up late and read a book, you turned a light switch on. We are going through a once in a lifetime transition where all of the energy that was generated for the previous 100 years essentially came from lighting a candle, except in a national grid, that candle was setting coal on fire in a power plant or setting natural gas on fire, transmitting the energy and turning the light bulb on, the incandescent light bulb on in your bedroom. Today, we're replacing all of that with a different kind of energy generation where energy is generated from the sun and from the wind in a renewable format. 100% of the globe's energy will move from some form of combustion to some form of non-combustion over the next 25, 30 years. You can pick your duration, but it's inevitable that we move to this model for all sorts of reasons. It is tough to overstate. In fact, it is impossible to overstate the enormity of the market, the amount of work that it takes to generate all that energy, and the amount of time and dollars and labor and engineering efforts it takes to replace the globe's infrastructure from one form of energy generation to another. So your question is, what's happening in the next 5 years? We're just going to keep doing what we're doing in exactly the same way we're doing it as fast as we can, because there's so much headroom in the market that nothing is going to stop us.
All right. This is your 10th startup. You've founded and sold. You've been on boards of lots of different companies. But being in renewables, there's a huge benefit to just our planet and climate. We understand that. But why is a good place to invest in renewables and in solar specifically?
Let me give you a little context. My first startup was part of the dot-com boom. And I remember thinking that this was the greatest change that was ever going to happen to the planet in my lifetime. We were going to go from couriers running blueprint documents back and forth in New York City to finally be able to upload and share and have video and communicate globally with anybody on the planet. And I couldn't have imagined a bigger thing in the world. And that was 1994. Now, renewables makes the internet look like a warm-up act. And the reason it makes it look like a warm-up act is because energy touches everything. It is impossible to avoid energy. And when you drive down the street today, you see electric cars. That was not true 10 years ago. You drive past houses that have splits where both heat and cooling is being generated by electricity. That was not a common observation 10 years ago. You drive around, you see lighting, you see movement, power. And with the advent of AI, every single one of those things requires power. And the cost of energy is going up and up and up because the feedstocks are becoming more and more expensive. And the infrastructure that was built for a centralized grid needs to be upgraded. Everything that I see when I look in renewables tells me that this is the biggest tectonic shift globally that has ever happened in human history. And I absolutely love being a part of it. And I can't wait to get to work each morning.
John, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people learn a little bit more about King Energy?
You can go to our website at www.kingenergy.com.
Thanks again for joining us. We're excited to kind of watch and follow your and your team's success, and just love the kind of the model that you guys have been able to crack. And obviously, you've invested a ton of money ahead of where you were going to go to the market. And so it's really amazing to hear your story. Thanks again.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning into the episode of Someone Like You. We hope you found our discussions today really insightful. Next week, we'll dive into another entrepreneur or founder building a business in climate, so stay tuned. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. It really, really helps us out. Follow us on LinkedIn, where we also post really great videos from this episode. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode.